In this episode, I'm going to talk to you about the easiest way to detail faster, what some detailers are saying about ceramic coatings that are wrong, and then what to do when you have a customer that calls you back that you missed something or something went wrong with the detail. And real quickly, because I don't think I talk about it enough, is that we have our own product line called Proper Care. So these are the detailing products that I created that we use in our business on a daily basis on our customers' vehicles. We have an all-purpose cleaner, a plastic and rubber dressing, a glass cleaner, and a car soap. These are the things that we use on literally every single car that comes through us. If you want to get a 10% discount on your next order and give them a try, you can use Groove10 at checkout, and that'll save you 10%. Again, whether it's a gallon size or a 16-ounce or some apparel, because we have a few shirts and hats, whatever it is, whatever you order, you can get 10% off by using Groove10 at checkout. Let's go ahead and get started. So welcome back to a new episode. You might hear some cars in the background because the door is open, so cars are passing by. And it might, as you just saw right there or heard right there, you might hear it in the background. No big deal. So let's go ahead and get started with this episode. The first one is the easiest way to detail faster. Now, depending on where you are with your business and the tools that you have and your skill level and the service that you're offering, right? There's going to be a lot of factors in terms of like what you need to do to be faster. But the easiest way, and I'm telling you, like, this is the easiest way to be faster, where you'll be able to finish a detail faster, is to literally, and in the most simplest way, just move faster. Like, it is so basic, but literally just move faster. So that's why I don't really wear headphones when I work. Like, I don't listen to audiobooks or I don't listen to music. Now, here at the shop, like, we might put a music on the speaker and, like, just have it in the background. But I never worked with headphones on. One, for safety. Like, if you're a mobile detailer, I would never recommend detailing with headphones, because then you get lost in your mind and listening to music that you have no awareness of your environment. And that just, like, it just, for safety reasons, whether you need to see something happening or you don't hear someone come, you know, it just, I never wore headphones. And when we went out with the team, when anyone worked at and we went mobile, no one would wear headphones, because just out of safety, whether it's maybe safety in terms of like something's happening here at the driveway where the vehicle starts to roll back or whatever, right? Or it could be, you know, something external, like someone, something is going into the van or pulled up next to us. So just out of safety precaution, I never recommend anyone wear headphones. And this, you know, this is the same thing to where if you're walking at the park by yourself, like I don't wear headphones like that. Not to the point where like it's like I only hear the music. It's just not safe. You always want to have situational awareness of wherever you are, because you never know what's happening. But the reason why I don't really listen to music like that is because I feel like music, and especially if you're listening to audiobooks, it slows you down, because especially audiobooks or podcasts or something informative, you can't really move that fast when you're trying to also take in and consume information in your head, right? Like if you're trying to intentionally learn something, it's hard to really like go full speed, because it's either you're focusing on the full speed or you're not going as fast because you're trying to listen and comprehend what's going on with the information you're trying to take in. So that's why, if anything, I will put I'll put music on. And this is like when I'm trying to move fast. Like if I am just chilling and, you know, we're polishing paint and like I'm not going super fast or anything like that. Like, yeah, I could put on an audiobook or something, because it's like you could still move fast, but like just naturally the polishing correction process is slower because of the process. But like when we're cleaning an interior, cleaning wheels, tires, washing, claying, I like the whole prep process, there's no music being played or audiobook that I have on, because I just want to move fast. And I feel like when you have something like that, again, specifically something informative, it kind of slows you down, because you mentally want to pay attention to what's being said in the audio and whatever, and it takes you away from the physical part of things. But that's the simplest way. Like if it doesn't matter if you have a $100 little shampoo machine or a, you know, $2,000 hot water extractor, or if you have if you simply just move a bit faster, you're going to get the job done faster, right? Like, yeah, you can talk about what tools and products and what steps, like 100%. But if you keep all things the same and you just rinse the vehicle down a bit faster. You clean the wheels a bit faster. You wash the vehicle a bit faster. You clay the vehicle a bit faster. You add a bit faster to every step of the process, and you will finish that detail a lot faster. And, you know, it's all dependent on your goals and what you want to do and what you want to accomplish. But like me, like when I come out to prep a vehicle, right, like I always tell the team, like the prep process should be the fastest part because that's not where the money's made, right? And this isn't to say like, oh, you just like, you just skip a lot of, like, no, you still get all the same prep steps done, right? Like you still clean the wheels thoroughly, the inner barrels, the face of the wheel, the tires, the fender well, right? You still wash the vehicle properly, right? We're still going to agitate all the emblems and crevices and tight areas. We're going to rinse it down. We're going to properly clay it. We're going to do iron remover. We're going to rinse it down. We're going to properly dry the vehicle. We're going to clean the door jam. Like all that's still being done. Like there's no shortcut being had. But you want to go through that as fast as possible because where you want to spend most of your time, like let's say this is a correction and coating, is you want to spend most of your time on the actual correction, polishing, and ceramic coating part because that's where you can make the biggest difference, right? Like the prep process is very, very important. Like if you do a poor prep job, it's going to affect the correction, polishing, and coating. But where you make the biggest difference and where you really give the most value to your customer is you spending more time on the correction, polishing, and coating part. That way you can really bring out the gloss and clarity out of the paintwork. Not in like, oh, well, you know, I spent an extra 10 minutes cleaning the wheels. It's like, instead of spending 10 minutes, you can get the same job done, but like in 3 minutes, spend extra 3 minutes cleaning the wheel and still get the same job done versus spending an extra 10 minutes to achieve the same results, right? And again, like with that one, like, If this is where like tools and products come in hand, where, you know, maybe you're doing multiple passes with APC diluted 101, right? And you're like, man, you know, it's taking me a while to like clean these wheels and such. And it's like, yeah, well, with that one, you can go straight to acid and that'll take it off super easy, right? So when we get on, and this is dependent on the wheel finish and such, like we don't just use acid every single wheel. But if you're working on a vehicle and you know, the wheel itself is able to handle acid, that's like a super fast way to get like a majority of the brake dust and grime off the wheel is by using wheel acid. And, you know, if it takes you 10 minutes to do, you know, a wheel, you want to cut that down to like 4 minutes, you know? And again, a big part of it is just speed. Like it's just how fast you move. Now, I will say like I'm able to move faster here at the shop because like no one's around us, right? Like we're in our own little environment. We're in our own shop and our own setup. So I can kind of, you know, get after it and like, and just kind of move at my pace. Whereas when you're mobile, like you just don't want to look like you're moving that fast because then it looks like you're just kind of running around with your head cut off. Not that you are, but like, you know, someone else looking at you, or a customer looking at you, it's like, hey, why is this guy moving so fast? So I don't, you know, I'm able to go like full speed here at the shop because I'm just by myself or, you know, here in the shop. But with mobile, it is a bit different, just because it might look funny if you're like just running around and such. But nonetheless, if you literally just move faster, that will help you increase your efficiency and spend less time on a detail. And again, it's like, are you just doing one a day? Would you like to go to two a day? Would you just like to make more per hour? Then like, yeah, the simple thing is to literally move faster. Now, again, there's multiple things that you can do, but like you know, if you're doing a correction and coating and it's like the paintwork has, you know, water spots, like heavy water spots, let's say, like, yeah, you can polish it with a DA or you can get a rotary and just mow it down and then follow that up with a correction and then polish. Like you can do that, like that would, or you just move faster and do the prep process faster on that thing. That we have more time to do the cutting and polishing with the DA and you get the job done faster, right? So there's a lot of ways that you can do things, whether it's tools or products or process that you do. I see a lot of videos on Instagram and TikTok. And again, I don't know the context, so it's not like I'm hating or anything, but I see these videos and like I would never move that pace. Like I when I'm out here with Lex and Angel, like I am objectively at least like 3 times faster than both of them. Not because I, you know, I'm the fastest person out there. No, but it's like I've been doing this for so long now, right? Like I've been detailing since 2011. And it's like after so many years, you're like, okay, I just need to get through these steps because I need to focus where my time matters most. And cleaning the wheels, tires, fenders, although important because it's going to make the detail look, you know, the overall vehicle look a lot better, it's not where I want to spend 60% of my time. Right. So like you want to prep the car as fast as you can because you, and same thing goes for the interior, right? Like, you know, if the seats are really bad, should you spend most of your time like vacuuming floor mats if they're not that bad? It's like, no, like you want to get through those floor mats as fast as you can. That way you can spend most of your time really where it really matters most, where the biggest change will happen. And that's on, you know, perhaps shampooing the seats or cleaning the headliner or what have you, right? So in any context for any service, like where do you spend most of your time? Right, like on an engine detail that we do that we charge $80 for, and let's say it's a all-in-one polish, a headlight restoration, an engine cleaning, and a full interior cleaning. Like of those services, like we can quickly knock out the engine detail like in 15 minutes or less, right? Because it doesn't need to take that long. Like obviously this comes with experience as well, like duh. But like you have to realize, like over time you'll figure out like, okay, which are the ones, like how can I get through these steps a lot faster, and which one should be done in the shortest amount of time? Again, at no point are you skipping any steps or taking any shortcuts. It's literally just saying, okay, if I'm taking an hour to do this, how do I get it down to 40 minutes? If this takes 5 hours, how can I get it down to, if this detail takes 5 hours, how can I get it down to 4 hours and 30 minutes? Like looking at it objectively like that at every service that you do, because that will compound over time. And this is especially true if at some point you want to hire someone. If, you know, if you're moving slow, let's say, and you hire someone to help you, and you only know like a certain pace in terms of like, you know, like you never really push yourself to go faster. So you maintain your, you know, your average speed that you usually do. And then you hire someone else to help you because you think that's going to help you. Although it will help you because there's two hands on deck now, but now you have two people going at an average pace, right? And going back to my last point, like when I'm working with Lex and Angel, like I'm the fastest one. And then because I'm the fastest one and they're looking at me like, dang, this dude's moving kind of fast. They start to move faster. But if you're moving, you know, slow, well, your helper's not going to move any faster than you. So you have to set the standard of like what the pace is, right? So it's not so much going like just straight on speed, but like, what's the pace? Like, well, you know, like, hey, let's try to get this prep work done in 35 minutes. Right? Again, depending on the context, like I'm just keeping things very general here. So like if you want to hire someone and you're looking at your numbers and you're like, man, like we have to, you know, it's me and the helper, but we're not really getting through more cars, or like we're barely finishing it any faster than when I was by myself. It's like, well, is it your pace, your speed? Like, you know, like have you ever pushed your pace to be faster? Because you could teach that person all the great, you know, all the great, the steps and the process and the skills. But like if you both are moving slow, well, then now you just have two slow people in the vehicle, right? You'll still finish it faster. Don't get me wrong. But if you moved at a faster pace, I mean, what would be done in one day in 6 hours, you could finish it in 4.5 hours. Again, keeping things very general here because every detailer, every service, every business will be slightly different. So I'm just keeping things very, very generic here. But all in all, the easiest thing you can do as a detailer is simply move faster to finish the detail faster, which again, you end up making more money because you're spending less time on the detail. And at no point are you taking shortcuts or, you know, undercutting the service. Like you are literally just moving a bit faster, step after step, which will help you finish the detail faster. Pretty straightforward. So next point here is, and this one is because I see this quite a bit on websites and just when detailers talk about their coatings. But the lie about ceramic coatings and how protected they are. So don't get me wrong, ceramic coatings are a great thing to do, right? It's a great thing to do to your vehicle. It's a great selling point. You know, customers are really starting to understand what that is. But I always put, like, we always say ceramic coatings are the best form of protection for rain or like for dirt or like to keep your car clean. It's not the best protection for impact, for debris, for, you know, so it's like I should have checked my website before I got in this podcast. But like, if you want the ultimate form of protection, it's going to be PPF. That will be like, if the customer really wants to protect their paint, that will be PPF. Maybe under that would be vinyl wrap because it's still like 2 mils of film between, you know, that's covering the paint. So that is like more protection than ceramic coating. And then after that would be ceramic coatings. But ceramic coatings are great to just wash your vehicle easier to, you know, when it rains, it kind of just sheets off. It's easier to rinse off the dirt, like very, like just more of the condition of road film that could build on your vehicle. It's just easier to wash off. But the way I see detailers talk about it, well, it's the best form of protection. It's like, well, it's to a degree it is, right? Like contextually, it is. Like, it's better than a wax or a sealant, of course. But it's not the ultimate form of protection to where it's going to protect the paint from anything more than, like, some rain and dirt, right? So, like, the way we were able to book in that $2,300 detail on the Civic Si, it was a polish. It was a correction and coating. But by correction, like, it was a very, like, it was a light polish, basically. There were some areas that needed to be spot corrected, but it was very straightforward. But the way we booked in that paint protection film job on the front end, which was the hood, the bumper, the headlights, and the side mirrors, is because the customer came here, or the potential customer that came in here to our shop, I think it wasn't a walk-in. Lex and them were talking via email. But the reason why they booked in the PPF job is because they said, "Hey, I want a ceramic coating because I want to protect my vehicle from rock chips." And obviously, that's not what a ceramic coating is going to do. It would never do that. It cannot ever come close to protecting a paint from rock chips. So that's when, a ceramic coating would be great. You know, Lex was saying ceramic coating would be great for rain and light, you know, light rain and dirt and such to wash your vehicle and make it easier to maintain your vehicle. But if you actually want to protect your vehicle from rock chip, from debris, from bugs hitting it, from actual impact to your vehicle, that has to be paint protection film. And like right then and there, the customer's like, "Oh, okay, like I never heard of that. Like, what is that?" And we talked about it. We showed them the film. We went through the process, explained the pricing, and did all that. And the customer ended up booking what is for a paint protection film because he wanted to actually protect his vehicle from impact, from rock chip, from these things. And ceramic coating would never come close to that. So when it comes to so my thing here is like, be very clear about what a ceramic coating actually does. Like, it's great for protection. It is. Like, it'll protect your vehicle from rain, from dirt, from, you know, but like, it, bugs can still etch into the paintwork, right? Or, you know, rock chips will still go like that. So, and, you know, honestly, like, if you actually want to have, you know, if you're thinking about PPF, you know, that is a great service to offer. One, it's super high ticket, like very high ticket service, albeit there's a big learning curve to it and such. But that is the best form of protection. And if you are getting a lot of ceramic coating jobs, like that's your main thing, ceramic coatings, like offering PPF as well wouldn't be a bad deal because if you're getting a lot of correction and coatings and like that's your customer base, like they want to protect their vehicle. I mean, a paint protection film will is perfectly aligned with that type of business and customer base that you have. But not a big deal in terms of like, this isn't going to like make or break someone's business or anything in terms of like how you position the ceramic coating, but it just like be very clear with your customers that like ceramic coating is best for like just repelling water and dirt, not so much from actually protecting it from impact from like some rock chips or debris on the highway or things of that nature. Like that will always only be paint protection film. And it like, again, like, vinyl film does protect the paint because it is like 2 mil thick, so that's still better than a ceramic coating when it comes to like rock chips. Again, it's not paint protection film, right? Paint protection film could be like 6, 8, or 10 mils, but it is still film between the paint and whatever hits it, right? So there is that. We don't claim that vinyl film is there to protect the vehicle because the primary thing for vinyl film is to just change the color of the vehicle, but you know, to a degree, it does offer some protection to your actual paint. So next one here is talking about the PPF job that we did on that Civic. It actually came back to us with a problem. This is very, is this the right one? Yeah. So we turned in the vehicle. Customer was very happy. And a few days later, the customer picked up the Civic Si and then they dropped off their Mustang. Once we were done with the Mustang and they came to pick it up, they actually told us that, "Hey, look, the side mirror and the hood were lifting back up." So with this kind of job, we already knew for the most part why that happened. We didn't give the film enough time to dry, so it just lifted back up. So the hood was actually no big deal. We literally just put it back down. Super easy, no big deal. But the mirror, we actually redid the whole thing. Now, the reason why, the main point I'm trying to tell you with this one is how to handle bad situations. And it wasn't really bad. Again, like, the customers were really cool. We were very communicative with them. Like, there was nothing like, they weren't mad or anything like that. Like, they trusted us. They knew, you know, they knew that we knew what we were doing. So it was nothing like that. But it was like, as soon as they had a problem, We'll take care of it. No problem whatsoever. They said, hey, I can leave it right now. Like, yeah, leave it right now. We'll work on it first thing in the morning. And Angel came in, redid the headlight, and we told the customer, hey, like, if possible, can you leave the car here till tomorrow? That way he has more time to dry. That way we make sure that it actually like lays down. The company's like, yeah, no big deal, for sure. And that was that. But again, the main thing here is that, like, you, especially with film jobs, like, if we're wrapping a full vehicle, like, something's going to come back. Like, whether it's PPF or vinyl wrap, like, something's going to come back up probably. Again, that's not, you don't want that to happen, right? Every job that you deliver, like, you want that thing to just be down and you're good to go. But every now and then, like, oh, like, there's going to be a small bubble somewhere that's forming. Like, on the BMW 320i, I think, that we wrapped. I think, like, a few days later, the customer contacted us and they're like, hey, there's a bubble forming on the rear deck lid. And he sent us a photo. Again, like, small little bubbles. And we told the customer, like, hey, like, if you just got to press them down. But if you don't want to do that, then just swing by our shop and it'll literally take like 5 minutes for us to do. And the customer tried it. He's like, yeah, I did it, but they're not really coming. They're not really going down. So he brought it back to us, like, low key, like, no lie, 5 minutes. Angel just with the heat gun, heated it up, put it down, and like, that was it. So that being said, it's like, sometimes with wraps, or again, this could be detailing related, interior related, like, it doesn't matter. But when you do have something come back to you, like, be proactive about it, right? If you see someone say, hey, like, you missed a spot, or hey, this piece of film's coming back up, or whatever, like, be proactive and respond fast and try to book them in as quickly as you can into your schedule. Because a lot of times, I mean, and think about it for you when you've dealt with businesses. When you're unhappy with a business, is it really the actual occurrence of something bad going, or how the business handled it after you told them? Right. So, like, if you go to a restaurant and they bring out the plate and, you know, there's mac and cheese, but it was supposed to be like gravy, right? If you go to the restaurant and they give you the food and you're like, oh, hey, this was supposed to be gravy, not mac and cheese, but it was just like someone that just came out to give you the food, but they're not your waiter. And they're like, okay, let me go tell the waiter real quick, right? And then 5 minutes, 10 minutes go by and the waiter passes you by and he never acknowledges you. And then finally, at the 15 minute, you're like, hey, like, you know, this was supposed to be gravy, not mac and cheese. And they're like, oh, sorry, no one told me. And then you're like, well, the other guy that gave me the food said he was going to tell you. He didn't tell you. And then he's like, okay, well, let me go, you know, take it to the back and let me bring you back some gravy. And then that takes another 10, 15 minutes. And then it's like, that kind of experience is terrible, right? Because you had the issue, you told someone, and then it's how they acted after you told them about the issue that really matters, right? Now, on that same example, if they give you your food and you say, hey, that was supposed to be gravy, not mac and cheese, and that person was like, oh, I'm so sorry, let me go tell the waiter, keep that food, we'll bring you an extra plate of gravy. And 5 minutes later, that gravy came out. That's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that was a fantastic way to handle a situation, right? And that customer's experience, although it was like not an error, but that's not what they expect in terms of their food. But because the establishment, the staff were so quick to resolve that solution, that resolve that problem, that you're like, oh, awesome. Like, thank you. Like that, you know, no big deal. Thank you so much. That creates a better affiliation to the business because they're like, oh man, like they really care. Like, I had an issue. They were prompt about it. They fixed it very quickly. And look, like, wow, that was fantastic. So it's okay if you miss a spot. If a customer comes back, obviously you want to minimize that to, like, you know, that shouldn't be happening every week or anything. But when it does, that's on you to rectify it as quickly as you can in the most professional manner, to the point where if a customer calls you back or something or whatever happens, you make them leave your business after you solve the issue. Like, man, that was one of the best businesses I ever dealt with, right? Because, like, most businesses, I mean, if you think about it, like, they suck at customer service, right? Like, you got to go through, you got to contact this random number, they send you over here, or, you know, take so many days to send it back and whatever. But when the customer can, like, oh, like, I had a problem, I called them, they told me when I could fix it, when to come in, how long it should take, whatever. Like, they're like, oh man, like, that was fantastic, actually, right? So like, be very proactive when you have any kind of, like, okay, I don't even want to call it, like, bad experience or bad service. It's just like, when something comes up with a customer, just be very, very proactive with it. Because it's like, the faster you are, the more professional you are, like, the better it's going to be. So it doesn't necessarily mean, like, you have to fix it right there, then on the spot. But it's like, hey, customer, like, you know, with the BMW film that popped up, it's like, hey, like, you know, when's the soonest that you can bring it to us? And it's, oh, well, I'm actually going out of town this week, so maybe, you know, next Tuesday. Like, yeah, like, that's absolutely fine. Whenever you get a chance next week on Tuesday, let us know we're going to come, and we'll take care of it, no problem whatsoever. And is that a fast, right? Like, we weren't able to get to them, you know, the next day because they were leaving and such, but, like, it's still you being very, very, very proactive with, like, how you respond, when's the quickest that you can come in. And that's the kind of, and the customer left like a raving 5-star review. Like, he was ecstatic about us wrapping his vehicle. He was super happy with the results. And with this, like, he, like, that just came, that just proved to him, like, oh yeah, like that was the right spot. Like, yeah, I had a few issues with the rear deck lid. And I think it was something very small. But again, like, it's not like we're like, oh, like, ignoring him or taking forever to respond. Like, he had issue. We told him, we asked him when he can come in. He told us, he came in, we fixed it. Boom. Like, no like qualms or no back and forth. It was as effortlessly as we can do it for the customer. So don't freak out if something, not even, I don't want to say the word bad or wrong. It just, if something that wasn't planned happens, like, it doesn't mean you're going to get a better view or the customer hates you or your business is going to go down. Like, just think about what you can do and be proactive with the situation. It's about to hit 30 minutes. I'll go ahead and end the episode right there. Let me know what you think of this episode. If you have any questions, leave them down in the comment section. I'll talk to you on the next one.